B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Nun Dalet. We're going to start in the Mishnah, in the middle of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Mishnitel Oroin. We'll remember that in the previous Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis, Amud Beis, we learned that the Kohen Gadol would put the shovel on the floor, with the coals on the floor between the poles of the Oroin. In the first Beis HaMikdash, the Oroin was there, and he would put the coals down in front of the Oroin. Mishnitel Oroin. At the time, and we've discussed this already in the Gemara, at some point the Oroin was hidden before the Churban Bayis Rishon. Then where would they put the shovel with the coals until the end of Bayis Sheni? Even Hoysa Shom Miyamois Nevi'im Rishonim, from the time of the very early Nevi'im of David HaMelech and Shmuel HaNovi. And from then, there was a stone there. Ushsia hoisonikras. This stone was called Shasia. We'll see soon why. The word Shasia means a foundation. There was a stone that was called Evan HaShasia. Gavoya minoretz sholish etzbois. It was 3 fingers' breadths high off the ground. Voleo hoyonason, and the Kohen Gadol would put the shovel with the coals on top of this stone. Continues the Mishnah. Notal es hadam mimi shehoyo memaris boy. So we've discussed, he went into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and he put the shovel on the floor, and he put the Ketores on the shovel, the whole Kodesh HaKodoshim filled with smoke. He said, he came out of the Kodesh HaKodoshim, said a short tefillah, and that was it. That was the first time he went in. Now, we have to remember that way back, he shechted his bull, on which he did his confession, on behalf of himself and his family, and on behalf of the Kohanim. He shechted it. And in the meantime, there was somebody standing that was mixing that was stirring the blood to make sure it should not congeal. So at this point, he's now finished with the ketores for now. Not al es hadam. He took the blood, mimi shahoyo memarispoi, from the person that was stirring it. And he went nichnas lemokim shenichnas. He went back into the place he was before, namely the Kodesh HaKadoshim, va'omad b'mokim she'omad, and he went and stood in the same place between, or what would have been in the area between the two poles of the Orin, v'hizom imenu, and he would sprinkle from the blood of the bull, achas lemalo, once up, v'sheva lemato, and 7 down. V'loi hoyo miskavin lehazois, loy lemalo, v'loy lemato. It's not as if he was planning that the blood should be, that the one up should be on the higher half of the covering of the Orin, which was called the Kapoires. It was a tefach high, and it doesn't mean that the one up means that one sprinkle onto the top half of the thickness of this covering, and the 7 on the bottom half of the thickness of this covering. That's not what it means. Elok matzlif. They would actually, all the drops would drop onto the floor. Kematzlif, and we've seen this in a Gemara previously already, on Daf Tezvov, that it was actually, the drops were in a line, one under the other. So what does it mean? Lemalo, lemata? We'll see in the Gemara, that means that the position that the finger was the finger facing upwards, or was the finger facing down? That's achas lemalo, v'sheva lemato, but the drops of blood actually fell onto the ground in a line. And this is how he would count. Achas, when he would do the one sprinkle upwards with his finger facing up, he would say achas, one. And then when he would do the first sprinkle downwards, he would say achas v'achas, that one plus another one. And then achas v'shtaim, that one and a second one. Achas v'sholish, achas v'arba, achas v'chomish, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva. And this is familiar to all of us from the Avodas Yom HaKippurim that we say during Musaf Chazaras Hashatz of Yom Kippur. So he would sprinkle once up, once with his finger towards up, 7 times down, and with the blood of the bull. Yotza, he would go out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim into the Heichal. V'inichoy al kan hazohov shebeheichal. There was a gold stand in the Heichal. He would put this utensil that was holding the remaining blood of the bull, he would put it for now onto this stand. Heviu loy es asoir. He would then go out of the heichal, and the Mefarshim say that this probably took place beina ulam lamizbeach, in the same place that he shechted the bull. They would bring him the goat. If you remember that on the Mizrach wall, the Mizrach's end of the Azara, just by the Sharon Nikonir, there were his two goats. One was Lashem, one was La'azazel. The one that was Lashem, that was a Chatos, which is this Soir that he now has to Shecht. They would bring him this goat from next to the Sharon Nikonir to the area Bein Ulam Lamizbeach. Shechtei, the Kohen Gadol would Shecht it. The Kibbel B'Mizrach as Domoy, and he would collect the blood in a container. Nichnas lemokim shenichnas, and he would go with the blood of the soyer back into where he came from, into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. V'omad b'mokim she'omad, and again he would stand in the same place. V'hizom imenu, and he would then sprinkle in exactly the same way as he did with the blood of the bull. He would now do it with the blood of the goat. Achas lemalo, v'sheva lemato, one up, seven down. And the Vilna Gaon says it should say here, v'chulu, meaning etc., that Lo yoyo miskavin hazois leilemalo v'leilemato elo kamatzlif. V'kach hoyo moine, and the counting was done the same way. Achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim v'chulu. In the same way as he counted when sprinkling the blood of the bull, he did the same when sprinkling the blood of the goat. Yotza, he then went out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'hinichoy al kan hazov hasheni shebeheichol. There was a second golden stand in the heichol where he would put the blood of the goat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo hoyoshem elo kan echod bilvad. In the heichol there was actually only a single stand to hold these vessels, these utensils with the blood. And what would he do? Not al dam hapor. He would, once he came out with the blood of the goat, he would then remove the remaining blood, the container with the remaining blood of the bull. He would remove it from the stand, from the single stand that was there, according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'hiniach dam hasor, and the container that he just come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the remaining blood of the goat, he would put in its place onto that stand. And what would he do now with the blood of the bull? V'hizo mimenu, he would sprinkle ala paroiches towards the curtains. He was standing in the heichal, facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he would sprinkle towards the curtain ala paroiches shekeneged ha'orin, in the center of the heichal, towards where the orin was on the other side of the curtain, mibachutz, that means from within the heichal, achas lemalo v'sheva lemato, v'loy hayo miskavin v'chulu, which means they didn't have to be on the curtain, higher, lower, no, it would be dropping on the floor, it would just be the position of his finger was once upwards and seven times downwards, v'kach hayo moine v'chulu, and again he would count as he did before. And then, not al dam hasoir, he'll then remove the blood of the goat that was on that stand, v'hiniach dam hapor, and in its place he'll now put the container with the remaining blood of the bull. That is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says there was only one stand. According to the Tanakama, who says that there were two stands, he would just put back the one with the soyer and put back the blood with the bull and take the blood of the soyer. V'hizo mimenu ala pareches, and he would sprinkle towards the pareches, towards the curtain, shekeneged ha'orin, parallel to where the orin was, mibachutz, from within the heichal, echos lemalo v'sheva lemata v'chulu. So now what have we done? He sprinkled echod lemalo sheva lemata of the bull in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then he did the same with the echod lemalo sheva lemata with the blood of the goat. And then he sprinkled echod lemalo sheva lemata in the heichal towards the curtain. And then he did the same thing with the blood of the goat. And then what's next? Iro dam hapor l'toich dam asoir. He now took all the remaining blood of the bull and poured it into the container that had held the remaining blood of the goat. V'nosan es hamole bereikon. In order that it should mix well, he would then take all the contents, all the blood from that container and pour it back into the container that initially held the blood of the bull in order that it should be mixed well. And then we're going to see later on in a Mishnah, in the next Mishnah, we're going to see what happened, what he actually did with this mixture of the blood. And we're going to see this on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Mishenignaz loikotoni. If we look in the first word of the Mishnah, it says Mishenital Orin. When the Orin was taken from, whenever it was taken from the Kodesh HaKodashim. But it doesn't say when it was hidden. Elo Mishenital, And the Gemara now says, Tnan Kamanda Omar, our Mishnah must be following the opinion that says that Oroin Golo Lebovel, that the Oroin was not hidden, rather it was exiled to Bovel. The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa, this is actually a Machlekes. Rebbe Eliezer Oimer, Oroin Golo Lebovel. Rebbe Eliezer says the Oroin was taken away to Bovel. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, V'lishuvas Hashono, at the turn of the year, Sholach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar sent, Vayivi'ehu, and they brought him, referring to Yoyochon HaMelech, they brought him Bovela to Bovel, Im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem, with the precious utensils of the home of Hashem, Vayamlech Etzitkeo Ochiv Al Yehudov Yerushalayim. What is this Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem? What is this precious utensil, precious kli of Hashem's home? So that says Rebbe Eliezer, that was the Oroin that held the Torah, which is so precious to us, and it was taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. Reb Shimon ben Yochai also says that Oroin golol Bovel, that the Oroin was exiled to Bovel. Shenemar brings a different pasuk, a pasuk in Yeshaya, that says Hine yomim boim v'nisa kol asher b'veisecho v'asher otzra v'veisecho ad hayom hazeh. Bovel, everything that was collected in the home in the Beis Hamikdash is going to be taken to Bovel. Lo yivosir dovor, Omar Hashem. Hashem said nothing will be left over. What's this dovor? Something called dovor. So the Poshup Shat is dovor means a thing. No thing will be left over. Says the Gemara, says Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, this dovor is alluding to the dibrois, the aseres hadibrois, elo aseres hadibrois sheboi, the aseres hadibrois on the luchos that were hidden inside the Oroin, those were taken to Bovel, the yivosir dovor omar Hashem, that the Oroin with the luchos is going to be taken and exiled to Bovel. Reb Yehuda ben Lachish Oimer, Oroin bimkoimoi nignas, the Oroin was hidden in its place in the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk goes as follows, Vayarichu habadim, that the poles of the Oroin were lengthened, they were stretched, they were pulled out, Roshe habadim, Vayiro Roshe habadim, and the tips of the poles were noticeable, were seen min hakodesh al pnei advir, they were seen right to the heichal, v'lo yirou achutza, and they were not seen outside the kodesh hakodoshim, v'yiru shom ad hayom hazeh, the Oroin will be there, referring to there, what the Gemara calls, b'mekoimoy, in its place, ad hayom hazeh, till today. So clearly it was not taken to exile to Bovel. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish. So now the Gemara is saying, Upliga de Ula, the Braisa we just learned now, that has three opinions. We had Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Shimon who both say that Golol Bovel, and Rebbe Yehuda ben Lachish who says that it was Bimkoimoy Nignaz, it was hidden in its place, seems to be arguing with Ula. Da Omar Ula. Ula said as follows, Shad Rebbe Masya ben Chorosh as Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai, Beroimi. Rebbe Masya ben Chorosh met Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai in Rome, and he asked him as follows, V'chi me'achar Rebbe Eliezer melamdenu. Since Rebbe Eliezer taught us, Pam Rishayna Ushnia, proving from two psukim, twice he proved that Oroin Golol Bovel, that the Oroin was taken to Bovel. Rishayna, the first place he proved it, Hod Omron, is what we saw in the Braisa from this posuk that says, Vayuvieho Bovelo im Klichemda Space Hashem, with the Klichemda, with the precious Kalim of in Hashem's home. Shnia, what's the second pasuk Rebbe Eliezer quoted? Ma'hi dechsiv, as it says in another pasuk, vayetzei mibas tzion, that it was taken out from Bas Tzion, referring to Yerushalayim, kol hadoro. What does it mean, kol hadoro? Kol hadoro means all its splendor. My kol hadoro, the word hadoro can also be written, or can be, one can, as a remez, it's also, a hey and the ches are very similar. It's as if it says, Kol Chadoro, Chadoro meaning the innermost chambers of the Beis Hamikdash. So when it says Vayetze Mibas Tzion, Kol Chadoro means that the Kalim, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Oroin that was in the inner chambers, where Vayetze Mibas Tzion was removed from Yerushalayim and taken to Bovel. So this was the second posuk that Rebbe Eliezer brought to prove that it was, that the Oroin was sent to Bovel. Ato, Yerub Shimon Bar Yochai asks Rebbe Masya ben Chorosh, Mo'ato Oimer. What do you say about this? Omar loy. Shimon bar Yochai said to Rav Masi ben Chorosh, "Shani oimer orin bimkoymoy nignas." I actually say that the orin stayed in its place. Shneimer, as it says, "Vayarichu abadim." The poles were extended. Vegoimer, and that's the pasuk that Shimon bar Yochai brought in the Medrash, that "Vayarichu abadim." V'yirou roshi abadim in hakodesh al pnei advir v'lo yirou achutza v'yusham ad hayoyim hazeh. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai says that the Orin was actually not exiled to Bavel. And the problem is that this posuk, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish who brought it before, not Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rav Shimon ben Yochai said before that it was Golo LeBavel, and he brought a different posuk. So we had the Braisa that says Rav Shimon ben Yochai says that Golo LeBavel, that Rav Shimon ben Yochai says it was Golo LeBavel. Here we have Rav Shimon ben Yochai telling Rav Masi ben Chorosh it was not Golo LeBavel. It was Bimkoimai Nignas. Omali Rabba Ula, Rabba Bar Ula, Rabba said to Ula, "My mashma." Where do you see this Rav Shimon bar Yochai? You just quoted Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who brought the same pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish brought before, that brought a raya that the orin was nignaz, was hidden in its place, from this pasuk where we say vayarichu abadim, they extended the poles, etc. Where do you see from there that the orin was not exiled? Tichsev. Because it says in the pasuk, the end of that pasuk, "Vayiu shom ad hayoyim hazeh." The orin is going to stay there until today. So the rabbi asked Ula, "V'chol heicha dechsiv ad hayoyim hazeh lo'olam hu?" Every time it says in the Torah the words "ad hayoyim hazeh," it means forever, till today. V'oksiv, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says in Shoftim, "Ve'es hayavusi yoyshev Yerushalayim." The people of Yevusi that were dwelling in Yerushalayim, lo yehirishu b'nei Binyamin, the people of b'nei Binyamin did not manage to drive them out. Vayeshev hayevusi es b'nei Binyamin, and the people of Yevusi, they dwell together with the b'nei Binyamin b'Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, ad hayom hazeh, till today. Hochinami, are you going to suggest delo yigolu, that the b'nei Binyamin till today are there together with the Yevusi people, and that the people of Binyamin were not exiled from Eretz Yisrael? This is contrary to a braisa. V'otani, we learned in a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Chamishim ushtayim shono," for 52 years, "loy ovar ish b'Yehuda." No person went through Yehuda. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, "Al hehorim," upon the mountains, upon the hills, "eso b'chi vonei." There was the raising of weeping and wailing, ve'al na'ois midbar, and the pastures of the wilderness, kino, they cried a kino, ki nitzatzu mibli ish oiver, because it was parched without any person passing through it, ve'lo'isham ukoil mikne, and the voice of cattle was not heard there, mi'oif ha'shamayim, from the birds of the sky, ve'ad behemo, poshet pshat meaning, and from the birds to the beast, nodudu, they wandered, halochu, and they were gone. So the Gemara says, in the Braisa it says, Rabbi Yehuda says, what does it mean, va'ad behema, until behema? It doesn't only mean the pshat, which is until the beast. It means the amount of years of the numerical value of behema. Behema begematria chamishim v'shtayim. The numerical value of behemo is 52. For 52 years is when the pasuk says that ish, that mibli ish oiver, nobody went through it. So it's clear that B'nai Binyamin were not there with the Yevusi forever. And if B'nai Binyamin were not there, how do you understand the words ad hayom hazeh? You said that the source that Rav Shimon bar Yochai told Rav Masi ben Chorosh, according to what you, Ula, are telling us, that the Orin was stayed over there in its place forever, is because it says, Vayiyu shom ad hayom hazeh. Ad hayom hazeh doesn't always mean forever. V'tanya, another braisa that also teaches us that the B'nai Binyamin must have been exiled at some point, because it says in the braisa, Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Sheva shonim, for 7 years, niskaimo, that means it's Eretz Yisrael injured, gofris for melach, sulfur and salt, be'eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. V'omer Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan explained, my tamer, what would be the source of Rabbi Yosi in the braisa, Rabbi Yosi? Because Asya, he learns Gzer Shova, bris. Ksiv Hoch, it says in one pasuk regarding Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vehigbir bris lorabim, that they've that they forged a strong covenant, l'rabim, with the great ones, with the great people, shavua echot, for 7 years. Uchsiv, it says in Hosom, it says in another pasuk, v'omru al asher ozu as bris Hashem, and it said regarding those who they forsaked the covenant of Hashem, elikei avosam, asher koras imam boitzio isom eretz Mitzrayim. So there's a gzeir shava bris, in the same way as when it speaks about those that are forsaking the connection, the covenant with Hashem, it says bris, and it also says bris, v'higvir bris l'rabim shavua echod. So you see from there that for 7 years, that after the golus, there was nothing doing. It was gofris or melech. There was no life in Eretz Yisrael. So you see there that Bnei Binyamin must have been exiled from Eretz Yisrael. If Bnei Binyamin were exiled, then it must be that when it says that they sat with the Yevusi in Yerushalayim, ad hayom hazeh, doesn't mean forever. If so, how do you know that the Oren stayed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, stayed in its place? Omer Le. So Ula responded to Rava, or to Rabba, and said, Hocha ksiv shom. Hosom lo ksiv shom. Over there, regarding the Bnei Binyamin and Yevusi, the Pasuk says that they were Vayeshev HaYevusi as Bnei Binyamin B'Yerushalayim Ad HaYom HaZeh. It doesn't say Shom there. However, regarding the poles of the Oren, it says Vayihu Shom Ad HaYom HaZeh. If it says Shom, it means it's there forever. Asks the Gemara, B'chol Heicha Dechsiv Shom Lo'ilam Hu? And every time it says Shom Ad HaYom HaZeh, it means it's there forever. May say we're going to ask a question from another Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, Umehem min bnei Shimon, and some of the descendants of Shimon, holchu laharaseir, they went to Haraseir, anoshim chamesh meis, 500 men, uplatio, name of a person, unaario, another person, urafoyo, another one, uziel, these were all the sons, bnei Yishi, beroisham, at their head. Vayaku es she'eris ha'pleito, they smote the remnants of the survivors la'amolik, of Amolik. Vayeshu sham, and they sat there, they dwelled there, the Bnei Shimon dwelled there, ad hayom hazeh. So it says that it was sham ad hayom hazeh. So if, regarding the poles of the Oren, when it says vayihu sham ad hayom hazeh, means it's there forever, and that's proof that the Oren was never taken away from its place, it was hidden in its place, then we would assume that the Bnei Shimon are still in this place, ad hayom hazeh. But that can't be. Ukvar olo Sancheiriv Melech Ashur. Since then, the Sancheiriv, the king of Ashur, rose to power. Ubilbil, and he confused Kol Arotzis, all the nations and all the people. So the Bnei Shimon are not anymore in their place. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, the Pasuk says, Ki omar b'koyach yodi osisi u'b'chochmosi ki nevunoisi v'osir, I have removed gvulois amim, the boundaries of the people of the nations, v'asudoisehem, and their treasures shoisesi, I have plundered v'oirit kabir yoshvim. So you see clearly that Bnei Shimon are not that, must have been removed, even though the Pasuk says regarding them that they remained shom ad hayom hazeh. Says the Gemara Tiyufta, so this is a refutation of what Ula said, because Ula explained Reb Shimon Bar Yochai as assuming that from the Pasuk Vayu Shom Ad HaYom HaZeh must mean it's there forever. We see here that Shom Ad HaYom HaZeh doesn't mean forever. And this is also then a refutation to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, who brought proof from this Pasuk that Orin b'mekoymoy nignas. Says the Gemara, Omer of Nachman, Tana, V'chachomim oimrim, we learned in a braisa that the chachomim hold Orin belishkas dir ha'etzim hayagonus. This seems to be a third opinion. Not that the Orin was exiled to Bavel, and not that the Orin was hidden in its place. Rather, it was hidden in the chamber of the wood. Hayagonus. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok. Afanan namitanina, we also learned this way in a Mishnah. What does it say? It's a Mishnah in Shkolim. The Mishnah says, Maisa b'koyin echo. There was once a koyin shaya misaseik, that he was busying himself in this chamber of the wood. He noticed that one of the floor tiles, one of the stones of the floor, was different to the other stones. It was slightly raised. It was clear to him that one of these stones had actually been lifted and then replaced. Ubov Idias Chavira, and he came to inform his friends of his find. Vulehispik Ligmuris Adovar, he didn't manage to finish saying what he wanted to say, at Yotus Nishmosi until he died. Vyaldu Babirur, and they knew for certainty, Shasham Orin Gonuz, they must be that the Orin is hidden there. My have of it, what was he doing in this chamber of the woods? Omer of Chelboy, Misasik Bukardumoy Hoyo, he was playing with his hatchet, which was one of the tools they would use to chop up the wood. He was playing there with it, and somehow through his playing there, he noticed this tile, the stone on the floor that was raised. Tonad Bereb Shmuel, Shnei Kohanim Bale Mumin Hoyu, Matlien Beitzim. There were two Kohanim who had a blemish, which meant that they were not allowed to do any of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. They were, however, allowed to go through the woods to make sure there was no wormy parts, and if there was any wormy part of the woods, they would chop it away, because the loch is a wormy wood was not allowed to go on the Mizbeach. V'nishmato kardumei shel echad mehem, and this hatchet of one of them fell, v'noflo shom, and it fell onto this stone, v'yotza eish, and a fire emerged from between the stones there, v'achlosoi, and consumed this hatchet, this tool that he was using. And this was another incident, or maybe the same incident, but this was where they saw that the Orin was probably or definitely hidden there. So continues the Gemara. Rav Yehuda asked a question, a seeming contradiction between two psukim. Ksivit says in one pasuk, we've seen this pasuk already, Vayarichu habadim, that the poles were extended, Vayiro'u roshe habadim, and the tips of the poles were seen, min ha-kodesh al pnei advir, they could see them into the heichal, v'lo yiro'u achutza, and they could not be seen outside the kodesh ha-kodoshim. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, it's a contradiction. First it says, v'yiro'u roshe abadim, that the tips of the poles could be seen, uchsev, and immediately afterwards it says, v'lo yiro'u achutza, that they could not be seen. Ha-ketzad, how can we understand this? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Nirin ve'enam nirin. They were seen and not seen. That means the poles in their naked state, that means the poles themselves obviously couldn't be seen, but they were noticed. They were protruding from out of the curtain. And let's see this in the Brayso. So Tani Namiochi, we found a Brayso to this effect as well, that it says, Vayiru Roshe Abadim. Vayiro Roshe Abadim, sorry, that the tips of the poles could be seen. Yochei loyu zozin mekayman. Are you going to say that it cannot be, that means the poles could not be moved from their place? Talmud Lema, Vayarichu Abadim. It says before that the poles got extended, and therefore we can understand how these poles should be seen beyond the position where the Orin was standing. Yochel Yu Mekar'in HaPareches V'yotzin. Are you going to suggest that they extended to the point, if it says Vayiro Roshe Abadim and HaKodesh Al Pnei Advir, they could be seen outside? Are you suggesting that the poles were ripped a hole through the curtains out and were seen in the Heichal? Talmud Lema, no, V'lo Yiro Achutza. They could not be seen in the Heichal. So what does this mean? HaKetzad, Doichakin, the poles pushed the curtain out a little bit, Uboilten, and they protruded, V'yotzin B'Poreiches, and then when you're looking at the other side of the pareches, you could see these two poles trying to push their way out, but the poles themselves did not make a hole through the curtain. V'nirin, it looked, k'shnei dadi isha, like the two breasts of a woman, that even though they're not seen on the outside, but one can see from the outside that they exist. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, tsroir ha-moir, like a bundle of moir, which is a scent, an aroma, a very pleasant besomim, doidi li, is my beloved one to me. Bein shodai yolin, between my breasts, yolin are lodged. That's where a woman who lodges this bundle of besomim, of scent, she lodges it between her breasts because it's very fond to her. So to here, between the two poles of the orin that were protruding like the breasts, that's where the keteres was done, and the keteres was an avoida that was very fond to Hashem. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Katina, when Klal Yisrael would come for Yom Tov to be oil regel to the Beis HaMikdosh, Megalin lohemes aparoiches, they would roll up the curtains, or marin lemes akruvim, and they would show them the kruvim, The Kruvim were on top of the kapiris, which was the lid on the Orin. There was these two molds of they looked like children or like malochim. It's whatever the Kruvim, they looked like, they had wings, and they were spread over the Orin HaKodesh, the Orin. And at times, when Klal Yisrael were doing what Hashem wanted, then these two Kruvim would actually be facing each other. And other times, when Klal Yisrael were not doing what Hashem wanted, the Kruvim, by Ness, by miracle, would actually turn away from each other. It's a Gemara in Baba Basra. But it says here that when Klal Yisrael came to be Oyle Regel, they would roll up the curtains, and they would show Klal Yisrael as a Kruvim, these two Kruvim, Shahoyu Mo'irim, that they were joined, they were embraced, Zeh Bazeh, one with the other. And the Kohanim would say to Klal Yisrael, Re'uchi Baschem, see the fondness and the love, Lifnei Amokim, how much Hashem loves you, Klal Yisrael, that it's comparable, Kachibas Zachor on the Keva, like the joining and the embrace of a male with a female. Mosi Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda asked a question on this. How could you show Klal Yisrael the Kruvim? Does it not say in the Pasuk, V'lo yavoyu lirois, that the Leviim who were going to carry the Orin and the Mizbeach when they were in transit in the Midbar, then whilst the Kohanim were dismantling the base, the Mishkan, and covering the Orin and the Mizbeach, it says that V'lo yavoyu lirois, the Leviim were not allowed to come and see the Orin, Kevala es HaKodesh, whilst the Kohanim were covering over these holy utensils. So you see there, Va'omer of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, who said in the name of Rav, that B'shas achnosas kelim l'nartek, at the time whilst these kelim, these utensils, were being placed into their nartek, into their containers, shelohem, into their respective covers, the Levim were not allowed to see it. So you see that it's disrespectful to see the Orin and to see the Kruvim. So how can you say that when it came to Yom Tov, they revealed the Kruvim to everyone? Omer of Nachman. Of Nachman said that there was a fundamental difference between what was happening in the Midbar when they were in transit in the desert to what happened in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we find such a concept? It's a mashal, the kala, a bride, called Manshi Bebeis Avia, when she's still in her father's house, which means she's not fully married yet, then Tznua Mibayla, she's modest, embarrassed somewhat of her husband. Kivon Shebaas LeBeis Chomeo. Once the marriage ceremony is totally final, and she's now married in his father's house. Then Einot Tznua Mibayla, she feels much more comfortable with him. She's that little bit less modest, so to speak, and less ashamed or embarrassed of him, and therefore is happier to get closer to him than she would have been while still at home. So too, in the Midbar, the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem was relatively new still, and therefore it was inappropriate to reveal the Orin. However, once they were in the Beis HaMikdash and had gotten used to a constant relationship with Hashem, therefore it was more comfortable and more understood that the Kruvim could be revealed. Mosi Rav Chana bar Rav Ketina, Maisa b'koyin echo, Jehoi mis'aseik, v'chulu. Rav Chana bar Rav Katina is asking, we said before that there was this incident with a Kohen that was in that chamber, and he revealed where the Orin was, and this person died because he was not supposed to reveal where it was. What would be wrong with revealing where the Orin was? Probably because people would see it, and it's inappropriate to see it. So you see that even after the Beis HaMikdash was built, it was inappropriate to see the Kruvim. Answers the Gemara, Omalei, that was different. Where was that? That was not when the Kruvim were there in the first Beis HaMikdash. That's after they were hidden. It was the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was already after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. But the Churban, it was similar to a Nizgarsha, to a divorce, Ka'omris. And Nizgarsha and Chozu L'chibos HaRishayna. And once a couple get divorced, even if they remarry afterwards, which is similar to the second Beis HaMikdash, but from that point, after there's been a divorce, the relationship is more similar to the very first stage of their relationship, where she was still at home, where they're not as close to each other as they would be later, and therefore, then the status of how it was in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, came back and it was inappropriate to look at the Orin. And when it says that they would show the people, the Kruvim, and the Orin, that would be in the first Beis HaMikdash, where the relationship was very close. Says the Gemara B'mayoskinon. So what are we talking about here? Inem B'mikdash Rishoin. Are we talking about, I mean, this that we said, that they would roll up the curtains to show Klal Yisrael the Kruvim. When was that talking about? If it was in the first Beis HaMikdash, Mihavoi Pareches, was there curtains there? We know that the partition between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the first Beis HaMikdash was the wall, the Amatraxin. It wasn't the curtains. Elo B'Mikdash Sheni, you're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, Mihavoi Kruvim, there were no Kruvim there. Says the Gemara, Lo'ilom B'Mikdash Rishon. We must be talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. And even though it's true that there were not necessarily the two curtains there, because the two curtains, as we've discussed previously, that was only there in the second Beis HaMikdash. But however, there was a number of curtains separating the Klal Yisrael who were outside in the Azora and the Orin. Umay Pareches, which Pareches did they roll up? Pareches, the Bovi, all the entrances between. There was the entrance of the Ulam, and there was the entrance of the Heichal, and even the entrance of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's true that the general partition was a wall, but in the center of this wall, this Amatraxin, there was an entranceway which had a curtain, and all those would be rolled up so that Klal Yisrael could see the Kruvim. Domer B'Zeira Marav, B'Zeira said in the name of Rav, and he's referring to the second Beis HaMikdash, as we're about to see, but the same applied to the first Beis HaMikdash, that Shloisha Osa Pareches Hoyu B'Mikdash, there were 13 curtains in the Mikdash, in the Azora. Shiva Keneged Shiva She'orim, there were seven entrances, seven openings, doorways into the Azora. They each had a curtain. Shtayim Achas L'Pischei Shel Heichal V'Achas L'Pischei Shel Ulam, another two, one for the Ulam and one for the Heichal. And Shtayim, another two, and this was in the second Beis HaMikdash, is Bedvir, between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As we've discussed previously, there were two curtains in Amma apart. Ushtayim, and another two, Kenegdon Ba'aliyah. There was an upper story, an upper floor on top of the Heichal and on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And above the two curtains, between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so too on the upper layer, in the same place, there would be these two curtains. These are the 13 curtains that were in the second Beis HaMikdash. But in the same way as we find that in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a curtain between the Azora and the Ulam, and a curtain between the Ulam and the Heichal, and a curtain between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so too, this was in the first Beis HaMikdash, and that's what they would roll up by Yom Tov to show Klal Yisrael the Kruvim. Ravacha Bayakiv Omar, Lo'ilam B'Mikdash Sheni, says it could be that the second Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, there were no Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what does it mean that they would roll up the curtains and show Klal Yisrael the Kruvim? Umarim lema Kruvim shehoyu mo'irim. What does that mean? It doesn't mean the actual Kruvim that were by the Orin. Rather, Kruvim de Tzurasa Havakaima. We're talking about the Kruvim that were either painted onto the walls of the Heichal or that were carved into wood and stuck onto the walls of the Heichal. Dechsev, as it says in the pasuk says, "Ve'es kol kirois habayis." All the walls of the bayis, referring to the heichal and the kodesh hakadoshim, meisav kola, was surrounded by designs. Pituchei miklois kruvim v'timrois. There were kruvim that were part of these designs. V'timrois and palm trees upturei tzitzim and blossoming flowers milifnim v'lachitzin. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal. V'tzipazov, and those wooden carvings, they were coated with gold. Mishir ala mechuka, and they were flattened over the carvings in order that the designs that were carved into the wood would then be reflected on the wood, on the gold that was covered over it. Or seven, it says in the Pasuk, Vayifatach al haluchois yodoiseo v'al mizgoroiseo kruvim aroyois v'timrois kema'ar ish v'loyois soviv. As compared to the joining of a man and his companion. What does it mean? Mai kema'ar ish v'loyois? Omer Rabba Barav Shila, ki ish is like a man, hama'uro, which is joined, b'lavoya shaloi, to his companion, in an embrace, and that is what these designs would be. And these designs were in the walls of the Heichal, even in the second Beis HaMikdash, and that's what Klal Yisrael would be shown, to show them the how dear they are to Hashem. And some of the Mefarshim say that in the same way as the Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the first Beis HaMikdash, they would change positions depending on the spiritual state of Klal Yisrael, the same would apply to these images on the walls of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They would also change position. And when Klal Yisrael saw that these Kruvim that were etched and carved into the walls of the Heichal, that they were facing each other and embracing each other, that was a sign of how much Hashem loved Klal Yisrael. Omer Rish Lakish, b'shoa she'nichnasu nochrim le'Heichal, when the Goyim came into the Heichal to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, ra'u kruvim hama'urim zeh b'zeh, they saw that these kruvim, and if we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, they saw that the designs of the kruvim that were etched into wood on the walls of the Heichal, they were embracing each other. Hoitzion l'shuk, the Goyim peeled off these designs, these carvings off the wall, and took them out to the marketplace. V'omru, and they said, Yisroel alolu, these Klal Yisrael, shebirchoson brocha, that when they give a brocha, its brocha is valid. And Hashem listens to those brochas. Uklilosom klola, and there's a power in every curse they give. Yasku b'dvorim alolu, they are engaged in their Beis HaMikdash. This is what they have. Miyad hizilum, so at that point the Goyim would degrade Klal Yisrael and look down upon them. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, kol mechabdeh, all those that previously respected Klal Yisrael, hizilu, are now looked down on them. Kiro'u ervosa, because they saw, they were given, they managed to peep into the most intimate connection between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, and that they felt it made them look down on Klal Yisrael. And the Mefarshim all explain that we all know that there are certain things that are appropriate in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the Kodesh Pnimo in the Heichal. And when the reflection of the intimate relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, it belongs inside the Heichal, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's only when Hoitzion L'shuk, when you take it out to the public, and you take it out and show everybody can see it, that's when it becomes Ro Ervasa, that's when it becomes cheap. Continues the Gemara, Ushtziya Hoiso Nikras, in the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishnah actually says, from the time of David and Shmuel, there was a stone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that was called Shasiya, which means a foundation. Tana, in the Braisa we learned, Shemimeno Hushtat Oilum, the reason this stone on which the orange sat was called Even HaShasiya is because the whole world was founded from this stone. Tanan Commander Omar, and our Mishnah is following the opinion that says, Mitzion Nivra Ha'olam, from Yerushalayim, from Tzion, that's where the world was founded, that's where the world became, that's where Hashem created the world from. He created, so to speak, the point that was going to be Tzion, and everything was added to that as the world was created. Tatani, we learned in a Braisa, Rebbe Eliezer Oimer, Oilom me'emtzoisoi nivra. The world was created from its center. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Betzekes, offer la'mutzok, when dirt was poured onto the mutzok, onto the bedrock, uragovim yudubaku, and stumps of earth and solid was stuck onto that original, the nucleus of the world, which was its center. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Yeshua says, Oilom minatzdodim nivra, that the world was created from its sides, from the four sides, the four different, the concepts of the four sides, that's where the world was created, and then the world expanded from its sides towards the center until the world became complete. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Kilasheleg Yoimer, he said to the snow, Heve oretz, become earth. Vegeshem Motor, and showers and rain, the Geshem Mitres Uzoi, and showers and mighty rains. And these are the four concepts, Geshem Motor, Geshem Mitres Uzoi. Those were the starting point of world was from these four points, which is the four sides of the world. This is the basic reading of the Gemara. We don't really understand what these mean, what these things mean, but we're reading the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Omar, Re'even Yor HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'yam, Hashem threw a stone into the sea, Mimenu Nishtas Olam, and the world was founded upon that. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, it says, Almo Adoneo Hotbo'u, into what was its bases sunken into, Oymi Yoro Even Pinoso, or who cast a stone, a cornerstone. So you see that the world started with a cornerstone that was cast. The Chachomim say, Mitzion Nivra, as we saw before, that the world was created from the point Tzion, from Yerushalayim, Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Mizmor L'Osof, Keil Elohim Hashem, Diber Vayikra Oretz, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevoyoi. So you see that the Pasuk in Perek Nun of Tehillim starts with Vayikra Oretz, the creation of the world. Va'omer, and it says in the next Pasuk in that Perek of Tehillim, Mitzion Michlal Yoifi Elohim Hoifia. What does that mean? What does it mean, Mitzion Michlal Yoifi? That Mimenu from Tzion Muchlal was included, Yoifi Yishal Olam, the whole beauty of the world expanded from the point, its starting point of the world, which was Tzion. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, God Loimir, Eile Toildois Shemaim Vaoretz, Bahi Barom. These are the offspring, the children. Obviously, it doesn't mean in its physical sense. So the Toildois of the Shemaim, of the sky, the heaven, Vaoretz and earth, Bahi Barom, when it was created, B'yei Masois Hashem Elikim Eretz Shemaim, the day that Hashem created the earth and the heaven. Toildois Shemaim, the Toildois of Shemaim, which were the sun, the moon, all those bodies that give light, and the stars, Mishamayim Nivru, they were created from the sky. Toildos Haoretz, and the Toildos of the earth, Mioretz Nivru, were created from matter of the earth. The Chachomim say, Eilu ve'eilu Mitzion Nivru. The Toildos HaShemayim and the Toildos Haoretz, they were both created from the point called Tzion. Shenemar, and brings again the Psukim we saw before, that it says in the first Pasuk, Mizmor La'osof Keil Elikim Hashem Diber Vayikra Oretz Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevoyoi. And this is including the sun, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevoyoi, including the Toildos of the Shemaim. And the next Pasuk, Vayimer, the next Pasuk says, Mitzion Michlal Yoifi Elikim Hoifia, Mimenu from Tzion Muchlal Yoifi Shel Olam. All the beauties of the world are included there and come from there. So the Chachomim say that everything stems from the point called Tzion. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.